go. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20.
Hello and welcome to Between the Trenches. Week 4 has already begun with Baltimore taking on the Pittsburgh Steelers, and I'm once again glad to be joined by Mitch Sanderson. Mitch, how you doing today, bud?
Pretty good, buddy. Well into a good week of football this week.
I know. Yeah, we're getting started already. And Rob, how you doing? Weekend's upon us, bud.
You forgot to mention the Leaside Lancers taking on the Northern Red Knights in some Toronto high school football yesterday. Mitch and I went to check that out.
That's right.
A couple games in the books this week.
Great footage from these guys, so look out for that. And as usual, I'm here as well, Dwayne Turner. And I guess we might as well start off with the Thursday night game that occurred. It went to overtime. Baltimore was able to finally get their first win over the Pittsburgh Steelers. And we were able to see who the true clutch kicker between the two teams were after the end of this game, weren't we?
Yeah, absolutely. And Justin Tucker, he kicks a field goal in overtime. Josh Kobe misses two. And, like, you could even say he missed three, even though he didn't miss a third one, where the Steelers just didn't even bring him out for a fourth and two inside the 35-yard line. So, yeah, like, this was a game. We both said the Ravens are going to win this one. I don't think we thought that this would be this close.
I mean, to be honest, I thought it would be close. My thing was Baltimore did not look great coming into this game. It was going to be a short week. They were traveling to Pittsburgh. I just figured that Michael Vick would have been able to do enough to get them through. And I was worried that, you know, Baltimore's defense wouldn't be able to hold up against all those offensive weapons. Again, I still picked Baltimore just because I felt that they needed to win this game more. But, you got to give it up to Tucker, man. 52 yards to win it in overtime. That's incredible.
I think you got to give it to Flacco, too. He had that great two-minute drive with no timeouts
right.
to get them into overtime.
Yeah.
Or set up the field goal to get them into overtime. Vic did a pretty good job early on, like keeping it serviceable. I thought he did better than what was expected for a guy who's starting his first game in 2 years on a three-day week.
Yeah.
But, you know, I still think the Steelers should have won this game. I don't know how they, you know, in overtime, they had third and two and a fourth and two, and they pass it twice with Vic with Le'Veon Bell in the backfield.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what that was about. I'm sure Tomlin's probably kicking himself today. But, like, that was, for the Ravens, this was a close, like, this was, they should be pinching themselves after this because they should have ran away with this, you know, and they just squeaked it out.
This could be a turning point for the Ravens. I mean, they needed to have this win to have any shot at, you know, the division. Just playoffs in general.
I'm kind of thinking, like, this is not, like, yeah, they get that first win. But still, when they go back and they look at this game, like, they're not going to feel real good about themselves giving up, like, these points and stuff to a Steelers team that with no Ben Roethlisberger, with no no Pouncey either.
You know what? I mean, you're right. I mean, it's not the best win they could have had, but at the end of the day, it is a win. And when you look at some of the things that they can build off of, I mean, Justin Forsett finally got going. I mean, he rushed for over 150 yards, albeit on 27 carries. I guess they kind of had a different receiving threat finally, opposite side Steve Smith in Aiken. I don't know. I mean, and like you said, I mean, the game, that drive that Joe Flacco was able to lead them down on, I get it. You know, I mean, this is a depleted Steelers team, and this should have been an easier win than it was. But a win is a win. And for a team that, you know, was discouraged after the way they started the season, I think it's something that they definitely can build off of.
Yeah, and we should mention, too, Steve Smith hurt his back last night. So we don't know the status of him going forward. That could be really big.
Yeah.
And, you know, hate to see that for Steve Smith, who's already come out and said this is his last year in the NFL. Really like to see that guy finish on a strong note.
He's a tough guy, though. I mean, he has the extra time to rest for, between this game and the next game just because it was the Thursday nighter. So, yeah, he'll have some extra time.
All right, so what do we say we get into the next set, the rest of the games, Rob?
All right, so kicking off the weekend, first 9:30 a.m. game of the year. We have an AFC battle in London. The 2-1 New York Jets taking on the 1-2 Miami Dolphins. And who do you guys have in this one?
I got the Jets in this one. I'm taking them 22-15. I don't think, you know, Tannehill played a bad game against the Bills last week. The Jets have a very similar defense. They're going to London. That just makes it, like, I don't know who that doesn't get necessarily give anyone an advantage. I don't really think the Dolphins have been there before, but it's going to be kind of a sloppier game, and I think that benefits the Jets and their running attack, and they're kind of simple, throw kind of jump balls to Brandon Marshall offense. Yeah, I got Jets in this one.
Yeah, I have the Jets as well. My score is 20-17. I think it can be close, but I think ultimately what's going to decide this game is the lack of a running game that the Miami Dolphins have not had all season. I mean, they're averaging just over 70 rushing yards a game, and it's going to be less than that. I mean, you're talking
Tannehill is their leading rusher still.
Well, yeah. And Chris Ivory, you mentioned him on the opposite side for the Jets. He's probable for this game, so he's somebody who I think can take advantage of what hasn't been a great Miami defensive line as of yet. We haven't seen them live up to their potential right now. Tannehill will do his best because I think, you know, he had a rough game last week. He really did against that Bills defense. And he's playing a similar one in the Jets, especially that defensive line. And he's going to do his best. I think he's been playing well at, you know, despite all the injuries he's had on that offensive line. But it's just going to be a real tough test for him to be able to get past. If he does not have a running game, I just don't know what he's going to be able to do in the pass game that's going to be able to propel them to a victory. So, and plus it's in London, which
historically it's been kind of a toss-up what happens in London.
So, yeah.
All right, so we both on the Jets for this one.
Exactly.
So we're moving it to the 1 o'clock time slot now. AFC South, you have the 1-2 Jags versus the 1-2 Colts in Indianapolis. Indy, big favorites. Mitch, start with you.
Yeah, I got the Colts in this one. I think they're favored by 9.5, but I have them winning 30-24. You know, if this was a lot of teams, I don't think the Colts, you know, would beat a lot of teams right now. They're just the way they're playing. Andrew Luck's health may be uncertain. I think he'll probably play, but you know, an unhealthy quarterback is not really what's best for your team. And the defense there in Indy is still very suspect. I think Jacksonville is going to put up some points there.
I agree. The Andrew Luck situation, I think he's definitely going to play. But they do have a lot of people on this injury report. I mean, we still don't know what they're going to get from the cornerback position. This high-potent Colts offense that everybody thought was just going to take over the NFL, you know how many points they're averaging per game? 18.7. Whew. 18.7. I mean, that's nothing to write home about. I think that the Colts are going to win this game. I think that, look, they scraped past the Tennessee Titans last week, but I think that they're going to be able to defeat the Jaguars in this game. I think that they're going to win by a score of 28-21, touchdown game. I think that the Jaguars can, like you said, I think that the Jaguars can definitely put up some points against this defense.
Yeah, I think for the Colts, too, we should mention that they want to start their run. This is where they do it. You know, that last week was supposed to be an easy game. This week is supposed to be an easy game. They squeaked it out last week. If they want to, you know, get themselves going, they need a big win here. Like, they should be, you know, pushing to blow out the Jaguars and get some confidence going. But I don't know. It won't be easy.
We should also mention that the Colts might want to be getting off to a hot start in this game and see if they can maybe get their stars rested just because they have a Thursday night game.
So
they have a quick turnaround against the Houston Texans. So it's another AFC South Division matchup. So that could be something they might be looking towards doing. We'll see if that actually plays out.
All right. Next one up is the 1-2 New York Giants versus the 2-1 Buffalo Bills in Buffalo. And yeah, Buffalo again is a 5.5-point favorite. Dwayne, how about you lead this one off?
All right. Well, if you check out our site, you'll see that I said do not start Eli Manning this week against the Bills because I mentioned earlier how Ryan Tannehill struggled against that Bills defensive line, and I think that we could see a similar case occur in this game because the Giants' offensive line isn't great, and I know that, you know, this Giants' offense has been kind of it's changed. It's become like they've tried to mold it around the Green Bay offense, a quick passing attack, but I don't think it's going to be quick enough to be able to prevent the likes of Mario Williams, I guess, what's his name?
Marcel
Darius,
Kyle
Williams. It's just, I mean, I don't know what Eli's going to be able to do. And plus, I think that this secondary has been doing a great job. I can't wait to see the battle between Stephon Gilmore and Odell Beckham Jr. Can't wait to see those two go at it. Victor Cruz, he's already listed as out. He's had a setback in his injury. So once again, you're going to have to see the likes of Reuben Randall and other secondary receivers step up, because Eli's going to need a lot of help in this game. And and plus a running game, I mean, I don't know where he's going to get that from. It looked like Andre Williams was the guy who kind of led them in carries and yards last week. But against this Bills defensive line, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen there. So, yeah, I have got the Giants losing 28-20.
All right, buddy. Well, this is my upset of the week.
Ooh.
And, you know, you may know, I have Eli Manning as my fantasy quarterback. So
You plan on starting him, eh?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's in there. Okay. And, you know what? I think, you know, if you look at this team on paper, yeah, the Bills look like they have a better matchup. But I think the Giants are clicking. They had the long week. They had the Thursday nighter last week. They have the long week to prepare. You're right, they don't have Victor Cruz, but hey, Stephon Gilmore hasn't really played against the top receiver yet this year. The closest thing he had was Julian Edelman, I think, and Edelman ate him alive.
Okay.
I think that Eli gets this clicking, and I have Giants 27, Bills 24. I think the Giants have a late comeback, have a late drive to win it. You know, this is my upset. This is not like statistically speaking, or like when you look at the facts. No, the Bills look like the better team, but I'm just going with the gut feeling here. Battle of New York, the Giants. Eli gets it going. They're gonna win the Super Bowl this year, man. It's the fourth year. They got to do it.
Okay, quick question, Mitch, before we move on. But what do you think defensively the Giants do to kind of stop? Because the Bills, they're averaging over 30 points a game. 33, I think, or something like that.
But yeah, well, I like, you know, we'll see if Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie gets in the lineup, but I really like their corners there. We saw in week one, you know, even when the Bills beat the Colts, Vontae Davis totally shut down Sammy Watkins, and John Beeson's going to be back in the lineup. That's a big plus for them. You know, I think it's going to be a scrappy game for sure, and they're going to give up some, there's going to be some plays, but yeah, I think that maybe they may be a little too overconfident. LeSean McCoy's still kind of banged up. So, you know, Carlos Williams, right, has been doing pretty well so far. But, you know, I think it's not going to be pretty, but they're going to have to make some plays, some key plays. And we haven't really seen the Bills have a meltdown game on offense. Or, like, we haven't seen them. The Patriots, they had a slow start, but they scored 32 points in that game. You can't really say they had a bad game. But, yeah, I think this is kind of a gut feeling. But, yeah, I feel good about this one.
Okay, all right. That's fair.
Quick yes or no before we move on. Does Eli Manning throw a pick this week, finally, Dwayne?
Yes, he does.
Mitch? No, he does not.
Oh, there you go. Okay. That's one thing we'll have to keep track of for next week. Okay, next one, moving on, more divisional football. The 3-0 Carolina Panthers versus the 1-2 Tampa Bay Bucks in Tampa Bay. Carolina, the slight favorite. Let's go to you, Mitch.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Panthers in this one. I think it's going to be a lot about the quarterbacks in this game. Josh Norman was named the NFC Player of the Month, NFC Defensive Player of the Month for the Panthers. I said it in our pregame show. He was like kind of a hidden gem there, and he's broken out really quick. I think he probably get to pick on Jameis Winston or two. That defense is really good, especially, you know, they get Jared Allen. I think Jared Allen is actually going to probably have a big game because he's been a little frustrated since he's been in Chicago. He's going to get to do what he does best in Carolina. I have Panthers 24, Bucks 19. I think it'll be. You know, I'm not really sure how the Bucks are going to score points, because I think Josh Norman's going to shut down Mike Evans for the most part. No Austin Seferin Jenkins. We'll rely a lot on Vincent Jackson and that run game with behind an offensive line that really hasn't done much so far this season. So yeah, I got Panthers winning this one by 5.
Okay. So for me, I have the Panthers winning as well. I think they take it 21-17. I have to say, though, that this might be the two worst offensive lines in the league we're going to be seeing on Sunday. And it's just going to be a battle of attrition as to see who can muster up the most amount of points. We've seen this Panther offense literally be Cam Newton and Greg Olsen carrying this team throughout the season so far. Jonathan Stewart, he's kind of questionable. We'll see if they can get any running game going.
Mike Tolbert.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The bowling ball. Yeah, no, it's going to be interesting because you bring up the whole Josh Norman effect on Mike Evans. Mike Evans is going to be playing his second game since he's been injured.
His third, but in his first game he did nothing.
Right.
He didn't really play that much.
Okay, right, exactly. I don't know. I think he has a bit of an advantage just because you're talking about a guy who's like 6'5". I don't think that's something that Josh Norman can really account for. He's an incredible cornerback, don't get me wrong, and he's had a great season so far. But I think that's something that Jameis Winston, he can just take advantage of that height. Vincent Jackson, you know, he's been their leading receiver so far, and it's great to see him, kind of like Larry Fitzgerald, find that fountain of youth. Something we need to monitor, though. I mean, nobody's kind of been talking about it, but Luke Kuechly, he's probably going to be out for this game. He still hasn't fully recovered from that concussion from week one. I'm excited to see what Jaren Allen does now on his new team. I mean, in that new position. So, yeah, I think it's going to be a close game, though. Tampa Bay's at home. I could see them, you know, trying to give the home crowd something to cheer for. But I think ultimately we're going to see the Panthers take this one and go to 4-0. I mean, who could have thought that?
Yeah.
All right, Dwayne, you have your eye on this one for sure. Your 1-2 Philadelphia Eagles taking on the 1-2 Redskins. You also have your eye on this one because the weather might not be too pretty for that fantasy team. Philly's slight favorite. So who do you got? We'll start with you. I got to give you this one first for sure.
Well, I mean, this is going to be an interesting one because not only does my favorite team impact this game, but also I have a few players in fantasy that may or may not play because of this. And we know how fantasy works. I'm not going to get the points if they don't play. So let's just go under the impression that this game does happen. And I think that the Eagles will win 28-24. DeSean Jackson is somebody who is probably, I mean, he's still dealing with that hamstring injury. I'm sure he's somebody who would love to play the Eagles. I mean, he's been outspoken about how he feels about how he was let go from by Chip Kelly. So he's somebody who he loves to play in these games. I think that the Eagles have something encouraging to build off of. The first half against the Jets last week, they used a lot of Darren Sproles, incorporated him into the offense a lot. I think that's something that could be the X factor right there, because I'm not quite sure that there's anybody on that Washington defense that can match up against him. I think that's ultimately what it's going to come down to. Kirk Cousins, we kind of saw what we expect from him last Thursday night, and I know that they had 10 days to prepare, but I'm not convinced that they can get this offense going. It's going to be interesting. Michael Kendricks is probably going to return, so that's going to help that linebacker core. But, I mean, we saw what Jordan Hicks did in his first career start. 10 tackles, a pick. I mean, he was outstanding. So, yeah, I have the Eagles winning this 28-24. It'll be a close game. It's a division game, but I think ultimately the Eagles take it.
I think the Eagles have this one as well. And then for the Redskins, you know, Sean Jackson can only be so much of a factor if Kirk Cousins can get the ball that deep down the field, and he really hasn't shown that he can do that so far. I think the Redskins, if they want to win this game, they need to run the ball. They need to get Matt Jones going again. They need to get Alfred Morris going. They need to get those Eagles three and outs, those quick, you know, those 20-second three and outs that they take, and take advantage of that. But I do think the Eagles get better. I think with, you know, they get DeMarco Murray back this week. Ryan Matthews had a really good week last week, and you mentioned Darren Sproles as well. Not a fan of the Redskins. I kind of think that actually that long week for the Redskins may work in reverse for them.
Detrimental, eh?
Yeah, I think they may overthink this game a little bit. Okay. And with the weather up in the air in Washington, in Virginia, I think their minds may be a little all over the place on this one. We still don't know if they're going to play. It looks like they probably won't, but there's a very good chance that they won't play this game. But, yeah, I got the Eagles 22, Redskins 17.
Okay, so close both ways for both of us. Just before we move on, what they're saying, or at least what I've heard through the reports, is that if this hurricane that's passing through does affect this game, then they would have to end up playing, I believe it's November 8th, and that would be when both of their teams, both the Eagles and the Redskins, have bye weeks. So we were talking about this off air, Mitch. You mentioned the fact that, you know, it sucks that you're practicing throughout your bye week, don't play, and then you still have to then play on your bye week. So
yeah, so you lose that rest that you would normally get in the NFL season that can be really, really important, especially with all the injuries for both these teams.
Exactly, yeah.
All right, so game number six for us is the 2-1 Oakland Raiders visiting the 0-3 Chicago Bears. And, Mitch, Oakland's actually favored in this game, something you don't see too often.
Yeah, it's the first time they've been favored in a game at all since November 2013. It's the first time they've been favored on the road since September 2012, which is just nuts. And when I heard that, my first thought was, oh, they're probably going to lose that then. but I still got to go with the Raiders in this one. And it's more because of the Bears. They made those two trades this week. Lose Bostic and Allen. Those guys were both starting in their defense. So they got to replace those guys. Still no word on Jay Cutler or Alshon Jeffrey. Jay Cutler is probably not going to play, but Jack Del Rio said earlier in the week that he would be absolutely shocked if he didn't. So we'll see how that goes. But, yeah, I think the Bears just kind of don't have enough right now to beat the Raiders. I expect Matt Forte to to have a big game, but I got Raiders 23, Bears 14.
Okay. This is my upset of the week, guys. Mitch, you brought it up. Look, the Raiders haven't been favored in a long, long time, and I think that that's something that might get to their heads. Last week, I also talked about the fact that, you know, a lot of these West Coast teams traveling to the East Coast for these 1 o'clock games. I think that's something that's definitely a factor. Now, obviously, it didn't bother them last week, but I think between a combination of things, you could see the Bears winning, and this is my score, 23-14. I know. Look, you look at some of these things. I mean, some of the stats here. The Bears, they've been averaging just over 15 points a game. The Raiders, 25, all close to 26 points a game. I think that the Raiders have some encouraging signs going forward. Amari Cooper has been incredible. You know, he's just shy of 300 yards receiving on the year. Carr has been incredible. I mean, it's a shame he wasn't able to play that. He wasn't able to play out that first game because, I mean, he would have had an incredible. His stats would have been incredible up until now. Latavius Murray has been pretty good. I know you weren't too high on him, Mitch, at the beginning of the year, but he's played pretty well. So, I guess my thing is that I know Jay Cutler's questionable, Alshon Jeffrey questionable as well. But I think if those guys go, I don't know what the Oakland Raiders do defensively to be able to stop that pairing, and I think that Matt Forte could have a field day on this Oakland defense. I mean, he's a guy who gets plenty of touches. Fox is not shy to make sure that is not shy of giving him the ball. Yeah, I just think that this is and especially the fact that the Bears are kind of in some turmoil or in supposed turmoil. A lot of people are writing them off. I think that's something that they could use to build them up, use as bulletin board material going forward. And I think that they could upset the Raiders in this game.
Okay, well, Dwayne, just before we move on, you mentioned Amari Cooper having a great year so far. He's going to probably match up against maybe Kyle Fuller.
Right.
Vic Fangio said earlier that Kyle Fuller is struggling like Tiger Woods, which is a very broad statement. But basically what he means is that Kyle Fuller, you know, had a really good start last year, and he struggled so far. Right. We've seen Amari Cooper take advantage of Joe Hayden last week.
Jimmy Smith the week before.
So are you worried at all about Amari Cooper taking over this team?
He's going to get his. There's no question in my mind. I think that he'll definitely get his. We brought up the video that we posted on our site recently. He was a must-start for me, Amari Cooper. So I'm not taking away anything from his game, but I think that the advantage of Alshon Jeffrey over whoever takes him on in that Oakland secondary is a bigger advantage to the Bears than the Amari Cooper over Kyle Fuller for the Raiders.
All right. So now 1-2 Houston Texans traveling to take on a team you guys both liked last week, the 3-0 Atlanta Falcons. Falcons are a touchdown favorite. Who do you guys like in this one?
I got the Falcons in this one. You know, I think. In that video that we mentioned, I had Julio Jones as my start of the week because I think, you know, that Houston secondary, which got torched by the Chiefs in week one, I think that's going to be a really problem that we've mentioned before. The Texans have a good front seven, but the weak in their back end. I have the Falcons, you know, putting up quite a few, putting 31 in this one, Texans 17. I think, you know, Arian Foster's scheduled to come back this week. But Atlanta's had a really good run defense so far, and yeah, I think that they kind of shut that down. They don't let Desmond Trufant's been really, really, really good, and that him and DeAndre Hopkins are going to be a really solid battle to watch in that game.
Okay, I've got the Atlanta Falcons as well, improving to 4-0. I think that they'll take this one by a score of 30-24. I think that this will be a bit closer. The Texans, they really haven't shown much on offense as of yet, but I think that, you know, this is the third week that Ryan Mallett is going to be able to start. I think that maybe this will help with his completion percentage, if anything. I mean, he's been kind of erratic, to say the least.
Yeah.
But I think, look, Julio Jones, I don't know. I mean, Jonathan Joseph is probably the best corner on the Houston Texans, and he's, you know, he's questionable. He'll probably play, but, I mean, if he's hampered in any way, I mean, that's just yeah, another advantage.
You really
advantage.
Have to double-team Julio Jones at this point all the time.
Right.
And the Texans don't really have the secondary, the safeties to, you know, they're used to using letting Jonathan Joseph play on his own. And if they have to have someone to come help him, and now their other players are going single coverage against, you know, it's not going to be pretty, I don't think, for it's not going to work out the greatest for the Texans defense. They need to J.J. Watt and Will Fork and Clowney, that group needs to get in the backfield if they want to.
Speaking
have
of
a
that,
chance.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's going to be an interesting matchup just because Devontae Freeman had a field day against the Cowboys last week, almost 150 yards, 3 touchdowns. I'm interested to see what he does for an encore just because there wasn't really another back that took any carries last week for the Falcons.
Nope.
I mean, Tevin Coleman is probably is going to miss this game again. Matt Ryan was the second leading rusher for the Falcons last week, so I want to see what's going to happen there. You brought up the fact that you didn't think or you thought that Atlanta had a pretty decent run defense. I mean, they shorted up definitely in that second half against the Cowboys, but obviously we saw Joseph Randle go for almost 100 in that first half.
Yeah, I think that was a big part. You know, the Cowboys have a great offensive line. I think that was more their offensive line's doing than what the Texans' offensive line can do right now.
So what do you think about the possibility of Arian Foster suiting up for this game? Him and Alfred Blue, who had a great game last week.
Yeah, a guy coming back from injury, Arian Foster comes back now. That's not the greatest like matchup. I don't like guys, you know, coming off injury having to do a lot of the work against a good run defense right away. I think he'll be fine in the long run, but maybe he doesn't. You know, if he's getting 30 carries this week, that's too much for a guy coming back right off injury.
That'd be great. Yeah, no, that'd be insane for them to expect.
And that's
that.
Kind of like they've been there. Formula for winning over the last while is run the ball 30 times a game or so.
Well, I'm pretty sure we'll definitely see an equal workload between him and Blue.
Yeah, Blue, you're right. Blue had the big game. He was my surprise of the week last week. So, you know, I think that'll be tough. But, you know, when the Falcons start, they get up early, if Julio Jones gets a couple touchdowns early on, then the Texans are going to be forced to throw the ball, and that's not going to work out well for Ryan Mallett. We saw him try and throw 58 times his first start of the year, and that didn't go well.
Okay, so we got our last game in the 1 o'clock slot, and it's the 1-2 Kansas City Chiefs traveling to Cincinnati to take on the 3-0 Bengals. Bengals are the favorite. Mitch, who you like?
I like the Bengals in this one, and you know what, if this was the other way around and playing in Kansas City, I think I'd like to take the Chiefs. These are two teams that are kind of deep all around. They have playmakers at certain positions. Bengals obviously have A.J. Green out there. And then Hill and Bernard in the backfield, where Chiefs, kind of their guy right now with Travis Kelce at tight end, and Jamal Charles in the backfield. But, yeah, I think they both have good defenses. I have Bengals 27, Chiefs 23. And, you know, I think if this was in Kansas City with a big crowd there, then it may be a different story.
Okay, well, I've got the Bengals winning 27-20. I think, yeah, it could be. It's definitely going to be a close game. I mean, the Kansas City Chiefs, they're 1-2, but they're definitely a better team than 1-2. They're definitely not a team that we're going to see finish below 500. But the Bengals have been really impressive this year. I mean, we've seen it. AJ Green had an absolute what a day he had against that Baltimore defense last week. The Kansas City Chiefs, we saw them fall behind early to the Packers and kind of, you know, they ended up mustering up some points. And I think that we saw some encouraging signs getting Jeremy Maclin involved and things like that. So, yeah, I think that the Bengals, I think that the advantage they have at the receiver position is something that's going to hurt the Kansas City Chiefs. We see that Phillip Gaines is out. He's been put on IR, so they don't have the cornerbacks to be able to play against what now has become a strength for the Bengals, these wide receivers. So, yeah, 27-20. I think that the Bengals take it, and yeah, 4-0. Bengals 4-0, Falcons 4-0, Panthers 4-0. That's incredible.
Okay, so our first 4 o'clock game, we have the 1-2 Cleveland Browns versus the 1-2 Chargers. Chargers back home for the first time in a few weeks. Dwayne, we'll start off with you. You had high hopes for the Chargers coming into the season.
Yeah, and I hate to put this phrase beside any team, but this is a must win for the Chargers. If they have any shot at the division, just getting into the playoffs, because I mean, you look at the Chiefs. If they're supposed to win this upcoming week, then this is a game they have to win as well. I think that the Chargers win this 35-17. I think we're going to see a big day from Philip Rivers, who's been having a great year, but he's going to have to step up even more just to be able to make up for what's been a suspect run defense right here. And I know that, you know, they'll be taking on the Browns. The Browns' running game has been kind of suspect, to say the least. But I think that they're going to be able to stop them. I mean, we saw what Amari Cooper was able to do to Joe Hayden. I think that the mix-up of wide receivers, Stevie Johnson, Malcolm Floyd, Keenan Allen, he's been incredible. So, yeah, I think that it's just going to be too much for the Browns to be able to stop.
All right, this is my lock of the week. So I got the Chargers in a similar score. I got them 38-18 over the Browns. This is my second time taking a lock for the Browns to lose. It didn't work out last time. But, you know, you're right. And not to say this is like a must-win, that the Chargers have been playing poorly and they now have to get it together. I think they've been playing well and they just haven't been winning games. And that for Philip Rivers to come home, play the Browns, they're going to probably start McCown. Yeah, I think Rivers goes off for a big day. He throws for close to 400 yards. Keenan Allen moves around a lot, and they get him going. I think maybe we see more Melvin Gordon come into this game. And yeah, I got 38-18, big win for the Chargers. That's my lock of the week.
All right, so next up we got California boy Aaron Rodgers taking his Green Bay Packers, who are 3-0, to play the 1-2 San Francisco 49ers. Green Bay big favorites. Mitch, what do you think?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. You got Aaron Rodgers going home, and I think he's going to kill it. You know, San Francisco got absolutely destroyed so far this season by the Steelers and the Cardinals. They had the good week one at home, and, you know, for most teams, that's maybe, or for them, going home may be a big thing, but that's Rodgers' home too, and I got a big win for the Packers. I think they score the most, 42-20. You know, I think the Niners maybe put some points up in garbage time, but, yeah, I think the Packers, I think Aaron Rodgers really kills it on this one.
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers, he hasn't forgotten the fact that, you know, this was the team that he wanted to be drafted by.
Oh, yeah.
And he'll make sure to remind them. Let's not also forget the fact that this has kind of been a rivalry game the past few years. I mean, when San Francisco was making it all the way to those divisional championships. So the Packers, they want to make a statement here. I know that this is no longer the 49ers that we were once accustomed to under Jim Harbaugh. I think that we're going to see a better 49ers team just because, I mean, the last 2 weeks they have been abysmal and it's been hard to watch. And at the Packers' defense, they're not the same as, like, the Cardinals or the other teams that the 49ers have taken on. But I think that they can put up some points. I think we could see them put up 20 points, albeit some in garbage time. But I think that the Packers, they have this they could be coasting by the third quarter. I think that they'll have 34, and they might take their foot off the gas late. But Aaron Rodgers, I mean, against the likes of Tremaine Brock and the other cornerbacks for the 49ers, I can't see them putting up any resistance against this Packers passing game. Aaron Rodgers is playing out of his mind right now. He's probably the best player in the league, and he's going to prove it again against the 49ers.
All right, more divisional football. The 1-2 St. Louis Rams take a two-game skid losing streak into Arizona to take on the 3-0 Cardinals. Mitch, who you like here?
I like the Cardinals big. I had them in my third team in my power rankings the last 2 weeks, and yeah, I think that Rams teams, they've struggled so far. You know, they had the big win early on against Seattle, but they've they lost to Washington, and they lose a stinker to to the Steelers last week. So I got Cardinals 35, Rams 10. I think the Cardinals keep it rolling. They keep that. They may get Andre Ellington back this week. And yeah, I think they just keep it going.
I think that this, I have the Rams putting up a similar score, 10 points, but I think that their defense can hold them to 23 points. The Arizona Cardinals, I mean. Look, if anything, the Rams have at least their defense to hold their hats on. The offense has not shown up yet. They haven't found a way to integrate Tavon Austin as well as we thought they would, but I mean, that's kind of been the case since he's been drafted. Yeah, I should mention too.
I think Tyrann Mathieu is like the perfect matchup for Tavon Austin, and the Rams have nobody who can even play against Patrick Peterson right now.
Right, exactly. I mean, we talked about this in the preview. I mean, they have good receivers, but no true number one, and that's kind of the problem right now. So, yeah, I think that the Cardinals will improve to 4-0. I think that they'll take this 23-10, and I think that we're going to see Carson Palmer and Larry Fitzgerald once again put on a show.
So the 2-1 Minnesota Vikings travel to the Mile High City, and they take on the 3-0 Denver Broncos. Dwayne, why don't you get started this time?
I think that the Broncos, we're going to finally see that their offense come to life in this game. I think that they're going to win this one by a score of 30-21. I think that your boy CJ Anderson, who's on your fantasy team, I think that this is finally the game that we see that Broncos rushing attack come to life. The Vikings, I really thought going into the year that their linebackers and that defensive line was going to be something that they hang their hats on, especially coached by Mike Zimmer. But we haven't seen that rush defense really come to fruition. So I think that that's something that the Broncos can definitely take advantage of. And if they get that running game going early, that means a lot of play action for Peyton Manning going to the likes of Emmanuel Sanders, Demaryius Thomas. And, you know, the Broncos playing with a lead, then having, you know, the likes of DeMarcus Ware and Von Miller coming off the edges going against a pretty shoddy Vikings offensive line could cause Teddy Bridgewater some fits. So, yeah, I don't think that's going to be very close.
I think this is actually going to be close. I feel like the Broncos winning this one, I think 26-21. I think that the Vikings have gotten better each week in all areas of the game. I expect Adrian Peterson to have a big game. I know the Denver have a good run defense, but that seems to be the teams that Adrian actually has the best games against, the teams that he's most geared up to play against because he wants to prove, you know, he came out this week and said that somebody was asking about Leonard Fournette and how he was doing it at LSU, and he said that, oh, I think I could have played in the NFL right out of high school. So he's big on himself. We know that for Adrian Peterson. I think it'll be, you know, Peyton Manning on a late drive and that run game with CJ Anderson. You know, I like the Vikings defense. I think they're going to make a few plays in this one. That's why it's not going to be too high scoring. But yeah, 26-21 Broncos. Yeah, I think they improve and they lean more on an all round team, especially, you know, on the defense late in the game, because I don't really like Teddy Bridgewater passing against that Broncos defense.
Okay,
that's all right. Fair. To wrap their weekend up, we got the two primetime games. The first one, the Sunday nighter, 2-1 Dallas Cowboys. Mitch, they're taking on your 0-3 New Orleans Saints. In New Orleans. Do the Saints get their first one of the season, Mitch?
I hope they do, but I don't think they will. You know, Drew Brees is a guy that always plays well at home on Sunday nights or Monday nights in primetime. But that defense for New Orleans has been so brutal right now. And, you know, in our video earlier, I said that Joseph Randle is my start of the week. I don't think that Saints run defense matches up well at all against the Cowboys offensive line, and I think the Cowboys get out to an early lead like they did last week against Atlanta Saints and close it off. Really, this Cowboys 28, Saints 25. I don't think Brees is going to let this one go quietly, but he's really got nobody to give the ball to right now, and I think Joseph Randle has a big game, probably two touchdowns. That offensive line really takes over.
Okay, well, for me, I have the Saints winning. I think that your Saints will get their first win, Mitch. I think they'll win by 33-28. I think that if Drew Brees plays and this ends up turning into a shootout, I'm going to take Drew Brees over Brandon Whedon. Sorry, Rob.
I would too, Dwayne.
Yeah,
but
I
hope you're right. But.
Yeah, it's as simple as that. I just, you know, Brandon Whedon, as you know, he played well, but, I mean, he still had a costly turnover against the Falcons last week. And, you know, obviously, we saw what happened after that in the second half. couldn't get the offense going. And this defense, this Dallas defense, is not suited to be able to have to – they don't have the pass rushers to be able to go after teams with the lead. So, yeah, I think that the Saints will win this one.
All right.
Okay, and the last one on the schedule, 0-3 Detroit Lions travel to the West Coast, take on the 1-2 Seattle Seahawks. Dwayne, wrap it up for us, buddy.
All right. Well, I think that the Seahawks win this by 27-17. I think that this is going to be close early. I think that we're going to finally see this Detroit offense kind of get going. I mean, it just doesn't make sense that you have the likes of Golden Tate, Calvin Johnson, Matthew Stafford, Amir Abdullah. It just doesn't make sense that this offense has been struggling so much. But I think that what's going to end up happening is that Seattle defense is finally going to come to life as well. Cam Chancellor is going to be playing in his second game, and I think that's definitely going to affect the Detroit offense. Look, they have done a pretty poor job protecting Matthew Stafford up until now, and I think that once the Seahawks get going, get that lead, that we're going to see those pass rushers start to get in his face and really frustrate him. So, yeah, I think that the Seahawks take this 27-17. It's hard for me to believe that the Lions are going to be 0-4. I didn't think that they were going to be as good as they were last year, but to start the year 0-4, that's not what I thought.
Yeah, and I have a hard time. I put the Seahawks in this one as well, 25-20. But I just kind of have a hard time, you know, picturing the Lions going 0-4. And I think they're going to do some things across the board. They're going to get Eric Ebron involved as well to get, you know, maybe not a ton of yards out of him, but if keep Cam Chancellor busy with Eric Ebron, that's going to do a lot for Calvin Johnson. I think Golden Tate's going to have a big game. He's going to play Kerry Williams a lot, and that's kind of been the weakness of that defense so far. I still don't like the Seattle offense, though. That's really I don't see them losing at home because I just, you know, that crowd that's on a Monday night, anytime a primetime game in Seattle, it's going to be big. They're going to try and get their team into it. But, yeah, you know, that we don't know what's going to happen with Marshawn Lynch, if he's going to play or not. I think Jimmy Graham's going to have a good game in this one. And Tyler Lockett's going to have to make a play or two as well.
And I'm sure he will. He'll set them up for some good scoring drives, I'm sure, with punt returns, kick returns. Yeah. So
We agreed a lot this week.
Not as much.
Remember the last time that happened?
Don't remind me, buddy. Don't remind me. I should also mention before we, I guess, wrap up, my lock was the Packers over the 49ers. I didn't mention that, but I mean, I thought I was hoping I made that obvious.
I typed it in there. Yeah, for sure.
Thanks, Rob.
All right, so that's all the time we have on this episode. Remember to check us out on Twitter at Between Trenches, on our Facebook page, and of course on our website, www.BetweenTheTrenches.com. We'll have our fantasy picks up there. We'll have our weekly picks up there. The podcast will be there. That's probably where you're listening to it right now.
All right, guys. Well, it's been a great episode. Can't wait to recap these games next week and get ready for week 5. But until then, enjoy the game, guys. Take care.
Let me ask you a question. Who could possibly have it better than us?
No!